VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. We're having a news roundup day here today, and I've got stacks of stories that Sandy's got all prepared for us here today, and a lot of issues that are going on. We will seek to keep you informed on a number of news issues, so much which is just kind of glossed over by a lot of the national media, but we'll seek to keep you informed on a number of stories here today, and understand the importance of being here for such a time as this. Do you know it's no accident that God has you here for this time, to be praying for this nation, to be sharing the gospel, and certainly to let your light shine before men. The Lord is coming back someday. We know that. He's promised that in His Word. And certainly we need to occupy until He comes again. Well, several things that are going on in the news today, and certainly we'll have a few comments along the way as well. As Newsmax.com points out, last night, President Biden gave his message to the nation, directing U.S. states to make adults eligible for the coronavirus vaccine by May the 1st. He urged Americans in this televised address to stay vigilant against the virus. And he said he's working to speed COVID-19 vaccinations to create a greater sense of normalcy in the country by the July 4th Independence Day holiday. You just might even get to barbecue in your backyard, he said. The president also said more U.S. troops would help in the vaccination effort. They're seeking to expand the pool of people able to administer the shots, including dentists, which, by the way, such a bill is being voted on next week in Wisconsin by the legislative body, but also optometrists, paramedics, veterinarians, and medical students. All are seeking to expand that pool of people able to administer the vaccinations. CBN points out that as Biden sounded frustrated with those fighting against the government imploring Americans to do things like wear a mask, the president proclaimed, "We need to remember the government isn't some foreign force in a distant capital. No, it's us, all of us, we the people." Through calling for unity, repeatedly, he then took a couple of shots at the Trump administration, like how he characterized its earliest reactions to COVID-19, saying, "We were hit with a virus that was met with silence and spread unchecked, denials for days, weeks, then months that led to more deaths and more infections." Folks, do you remember how President Trump was criticized by Joe Biden, by Nancy Pelosi, by others for his immediate response and shutting down the border against China, etc.? He also blamed last night President Trump for having too little vaccine on hand when Biden first took office. 2 months ago, the country didn't have nearly enough vaccine supply to vaccinate all or anywhere near all of the American public. And I think that's because the vaccine had just come out, had just gone through approval. Very interesting indeed. Let's look at Western Journal. President Biden made it clear during his campaign he was going to, if not do a total 180 from President Trump's immigration policies, as close to an about face as you could. Biden won the presidency. His administration quickly discovered one of the first major problems involved migrants who actually took him seriously. I mean, just before the inauguration, administrative officials warned that immigrants that they needed to understand they're not going to be able to come to the U.S. immediately. They'll not be able to find when they get to the U.S. border. Things will change from Tuesday to Wednesday. But there's help on the way, they were told. Well, that message didn't get through because now the southern border is so clogged that in the midst of a pandemic, we're on the verge of turning family detention centers in Texas into Ellis Island-style rapid processing hubs. 78,000 arrests and detentions were made along the southern border in January. That's the highest number for January in over 10 years and double the number apprehended last year. We also find out from the Epoch Times in February, despite a week of freezing weather, that the Border Patrol apprehended over 100,000 illegal border crossers along the southern border. That's according to the Customs and Border Protection. Another 26,000 people evaded capture, according to a former Texas Department of Public Safety captain. Among those arrested by Border Patrol since January 1st, more than 800 criminals have been identified, including 78 sex offenders and 62 gang members. Daily Wire also points out that Cochise County Sheriff Mark Daniels slammed President Biden during a Fox News interview this week for the ongoing crisis at the border, saying that Biden's reversal of the last administration policies have caused a serious problem at the border. Quote, he said, when President Biden rescinded the emergency order on the southwest border, it stopped resources and it stopped construction on our border. As a result of that, one area where the fence is not complete, we get 5 to 6 groups a day coming across there. It's opened up the border. It's opened up the message and that it's okay to come in this country. This administration owns this decision, and what it's doing is forcing us back to 2019, where we had the largest what I call crime scene in the country, to include the largest humanitarian situation going on. Senator Tom Cotton said, we've got a crisis at the border. This is the Biden border crisis, he said. CNSNews.com reports that the New York Times reported the number of unaccompanied children detained at the southwest border has tripled over the last 2 weeks to more than 3,250, and more than 1,360 children have been detained beyond the 72-hour period when they're required to be moved to shelters. Cotton said this. He said, Joe Biden's administration is seeking out those illegal aliens that Donald Trump turned away and inviting them back to the border. Enter, like we've gone far beyond catch and release. He said, this is recruit and release. They've specifically recruiting illegal aliens who we already turned away once to come back so they can be let go in our country. He also pointed out that all of us, almost all of these claims will be rejected, the asylum claims. The simple fact is, if you're from Central America, you're seeking asylum, you do that at the southern border of Mexico. When you get all the way to the southern border of the U.S., you're no longer seeking asylum. You're seeking a better job and better living conditions. Newsmax points out about 25% of the migrants dropped off in a Texas border town tested positive for COVID, according to the director of the homeless shelter, where Border Patrol agents are releasing the illegal immigrants that they are catching. Also, Gateway Pundit pointing out that Governor Greg Abbott announced that Texas is launching Operation Lone Star to respond to the Biden administration's failure to secure the border. The open border policies have created a migrant crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. Texas is fighting back and deploying National Guard troops, DPS officers, air, ground, marine, and tactical border security assets to prevent the Mexican drug cartels and smugglers who are moving illegal aliens and drugs across the border. Texas jumping in with Operation Lone Star. Turning back to the topic of COVID, we have from WND.com, as a growing number of states ease their COVID restrictions, a prominent Stanford medical professor and health economist is doubling down on his contention that the lockdowns are the biggest public health mistake that we've ever made. This is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya of the Stanford Medical School made the remark in an interview with the Daily Clout. He said, I stand behind my comment that the lockdowns are the single worst public health mistake in the last 100 years. He's a co-author of the Great Barrington Declaration. That was a petition calling for the end of COVID-19 lockdowns, argued the measures have not served to control the epidemic in the places where they have most vigorously imposed. The Great Barrington Declaration has received signatures from more than 13,000 medical and public health scientists, more than 41,000 medical practitioners, and at least 754,000 plus concerned citizens. CNSNews.com telling us Governor Newsom facing a recall petition effort that has garnered nearly 2 million signatures due to his draconian coronavirus lockdown mandates. But Newsom said he has no intention of changing course just because of a, quote, few naysayers. Californians will be allowed to return to normal even after the pandemic is over because normal was never good enough. He said they will not be allowed to return to normal. Normal, he said, accepts inequality, and inequality is to blame for Latinos dying of COVID, the governor said. Well, isn't that interesting? Now, we just read the story of the number of COVID-positive individuals coming across our southern border, and now he is blaming us for that? He said there can be no economic recovery without economic justice to eliminate inequity, Newsom declared. From FoxNews.com, the House of Representatives finalized the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, and I put that in quotes, for President Biden's first legislative victory. The vote was 220 to 211. No Republicans voted yes for this. Its so-called American Rescue Plan calls for $1,400 stimulus checks for individuals earning up to $75,000, $2,800 for couples earning $150,000 or more. Households will receive an additional $1,400 for each dependent child. For the unemployed, the legislation extends $300 per week enhanced federal benefits through September 6 and allows the first $10,200 of jobless benefits to be tax-free to home households with incomes under $150,000. This also establishes a child allowance worth upwards of $300 per month for each child under the age of 6 or $3,600 a year. For older children up to age 17, families will get $3,000 a year in the new Child Tax Credit Program. One Democrat voted against this legislation, Representative Golden of Maine, who had concerns with the overall size and scope of this bill. Some have said this is the beginning of the standardized income, basic level of income that's guaranteed even through these rebates that are coming through. Daily Wire is saying that Senate Democrats blocked an amendment by Republicans that would have stopped taxpayer-funded stimulus checks from going to illegal aliens and incarcerated criminals. But that was blocked in a vote of 49 to 50. For instance, Dylann Roof, who murdered 9 people. He's on federal death row. Well, he's going to get his $1,400 stimulus check as part of the Democrats' COVID relief bill. Cotton tweeted out that Sarnoff, remember the Boston bomber, murdered 3 people, terrorized a city? Yeah, he's going to get his $1,400 stimulus check as part of this COVID relief bill as well. Less than 1% of the latest spending goes to vaccines, reports CFACT. Only 10% is directly related to the virus. Here's a sampling of where some of the other monies are going. $350 billion to cities, states, and Indian tribes, including those running fiscal surpluses. The methodology was changed to favor states that voted for Biden. Also, $169 billion to schools and colleges, including those that refuse to open. There's $58 billion to bail out union pension plans, $25 billion to increase Obamacare subsidies, $30 billion to Amtrak and transit agencies. There's $1 billion in loan forgiveness for farmers based on racial justice. That's right. The relief package includes an estimated $4 billion to pay up to 120% of Black, Hispanic, Asian, or Native American farmers' outstanding debt as of July 1st. That's according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. There's also $50 million in environmental justice grants. And folks, the list goes on. Also, not only does it do this, but it also expands abortion funding. Yes, the COVID bill expanded abortion funding. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to pick up with that aspect of this story here. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what caused the Ice Age?
Chris, as near as we can tell, the Ice Age came after the flood, kind of an after effect of the flood caused by the flood itself. The primary cause of the Ice Age was that snow accumulated in vast quantities and did not melt, as it piled up and turned into ice and began to flow as glaciers. The real need for enhanced snowfall is more evaporation from the ocean waters, and this would have happened if the ocean waters were warmer. We see from Scripture that the fountains of the great deep brought up superheated waters from deep inside the earth. I suspect that the flood waters were significantly warmer than today. This evaporation provided the raw material for the ice age. Even though the ice age isn't mentioned by name in Scripture, it is intimated. Even the ice age goes back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Some COVID relief bill that was signed, folks, and indeed, there's it's said here by LifeNews.com that with this COVID relief bill, and I put that in quotes, we have the greatest expansion of abortion funding in a decade. This COVID relief bill, the greatest expansion of abortion in a decade. They report that Biden just signed a bill that forces Americans to fund abortions and the Planned Parenthood abortion business. It is the largest expansion of abortion funding since 2010 when Democrats passed Obamacare. The COVID relief bill spends all but 9% on COVID relief and will spend tens of millions of dollars, perhaps over $100 million, on funding abortions and the Planned Parenthood Abortion Corporation. Family Research Council released a lengthy analysis of the funds in the bill that could be used to pay for abortions, including up to $386.7 billion, funds that can directly pay for abortions. Also $10 billion overseas, funds that can subsidize abortions, $704 million, and abortion lobbying of $10 billion overseas. Also, there is $81.7 billion for major subsidies for health plans that cover abortion and bailout for abortion businesses, up to $50 million. This next story is very shocking. LifeNews.com says a Christian group called Evangelicals for Biden told the president that voters feel betrayed by his plans to force taxpayers to fund abortions through the COVID-19 relief bill. They feel betrayed by it. Folks, there was no secret as to where Joe Biden stood on the topic of killing unborn, innocent human babies prior to birth. There was no mistake where he stood on that issue. There was no mistake where his party and their platform stood on this issue. But now they're saying they feel betrayed by him? They said that they promised to support Joe Biden on the condition that he would work to find, quote, common ground with Americans on abortion. We feel used and betrayed and have no intention of simply watching these kinds of efforts happen from the sidelines, Evangelicals for Biden wrote. The Biden team wanted to talk to us during the campaign to gain our support, and we gave it on the condition that they would be active dialogue and common ground solutions on the issue of abortion, they continued. There has been no dialogue since the campaign. Did you really expect that Joe Biden would change his position on abortion by you having dialogue with him? They say, quote, we are very disappointed about the COVID-19 relief package's exclusion of the Hyde Amendment, a longstanding bipartisan policy that prevents taxpayer funding for abortion. The Federalist reports the group, which represents more than 5,000, quote, pro-life evangelical Christians, endorsed Biden in October. And now, folks, the light is turned on and they're feeling betrayed. Epoch Times is reporting that health authorities in Denmark, Norway, and Iceland on Thursday suspended the use of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine shots following reports of the formation of blood clots in some people who had been vaccinated. Again, this is Denmark, Norway, and Iceland. Health authorities, they're suspending AstraZeneca. Austria earlier stopped using a batch of AstraZeneca shots while investigating a death from coagulation disorders and an illness from a pulmonary embolism, but interesting story. Epoch Times is reporting that. From Pamela Geller, months after the 2020 election, state and local officials in Georgia have failed to produce chain of custody documents for over 404,000 absentee votes put in drop boxes, according to a report by the Georgia Star News. That means that 67.5% of the state's estimated 600,000 absentee vote by mail ballot count was found to not have chain of custody documentation. It is worth noting that the outcome of the 2020 election in Georgia was decided by less than 12,000 votes, which would be nearly 3% of these 404,000 absentee vote-by-mail ballots deposited into drop boxes and counted by the county registrars. Nearly 300 drop boxes were utilized to collect absentee ballots in 2020. The drop boxes were stimulated in part by donations to Georgia counties from the Center for Tech and Civic Life. You know who that is? It's a 501c3 funded by Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan. Zuckerberg donated nearly $350 million for this 2020 election effort. Can't find a chain of custody. 404,000 ballots. Nothing to look at here. From townhall.com, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the possibility exists that Representative Marionette Miller Meeks of Iowa, a Republican who narrowly defeated a Democrat candidate, Rita Hart, could be unseated. According to the Speaker, the Democratic-led House Administration Committee is following the law in reviewing the election, which Miller Meeks won with just 6 votes. The election results were certified by Iowa state officials, and Miller Meeks was provisionally sworn into Congress in January. But evidently, folks, well, some extra votes have come along here. You see, the opponent, the Democratic opponent, said that she has evidence that 22 legally cast votes were left out of the counting process, 18 of which are for her. National Republican Congressional Committee spokesman Mike Berg blasted the Democrats' stunt. Rita Hart and Speaker Pelosi are trying to subvert democracy, and I look forward to all Democrat members condemning this partisan stunt, he told Fox News. But folks, Nancy Pelosi is saying that the possibility exists that the Republican will now be unseated. And they're talking about Donald Trump not conceding the election? Daily Caller reporting that the entire staff of the Nevada Democratic Party reportedly quit this past Saturday after Democrat Socialist won key leadership positions. After Nevada Democratic Party Chair Judith Whitmer won her seat, party executive Alana Mounts sent her an email announcing the entire staff was quitting. Those who quit en masse included every employee and their consultants, each of them who took severance checks with them. The progressives won all 5 leadership positions within the Democratic Party. The candidates were backed by the local chapter of the Democratic Socialist of America. This was run by former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, the tightly run and highly organized progressive establishment coins itself the Reid Machine. Coming from Judicial Watch, they announced that it has filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Defense for records about Nancy Pelosi and her telephone call with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, on January 8, 2021. Pelosi acknowledged the call in a January 8th letter to her Democratic colleagues. In the letter, Pelosi purportedly related her discussion with Milley earlier that same day, saying, "This morning I spoke to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, to discuss available precautions for preventing an unstable president," that's where she's referring to President Trump, "an unstable president from initiating military hostilities or accessing the launch codes and ordering a nuclear strike. The situation of this unhinged president could not be more dangerous, and we must do everything that we can to protect the American people from his unbalanced assault on our country and our democracy." Well, if Speaker Pelosi's description of her conversation with General Milley is true, it sets a dangerous precedent that could undermine the president's role as commander-in-chief and the separation of powers, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. "Our new lawsuit aims to uncover truth about this call." From LifeNews.com, President Biden's nominee for a high-level Department of Justice position could not name any limits on abortions that she supports Tuesday during a U.S. Senate confirmation hearing. The Hill reports that Vinita Gupta is Biden's choice for the third most powerful position in the Justice Department. A former Obama administration official, Gupta has a history of leftist advocacy and divisive political comments. Gupta also refused to say whether the Department of Justice would intervene in cases where children were prescribed gender reassignment surgery without parental consent, Breitbart reports. Daily Caller tells us that the House passed the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, or the PRO Act. It's a sweeping bill backed by unions and opposed by business groups, largely along party lines. Happened this past Tuesday. This the only thing the PRO Act does is to protect the $1.6 billion that unions donate to left-wing organizations. Republican North Carolina Representative Virginia Fox said on Monday. Congressman Glenn Grothman sent out a press release earlier this week, too, and he said some of the key provisions of this PRO Act that Congress has passed forces employers to hand over mountains of personal information to unions, such as home addresses, cell phone numbers, and personal emails. It also drastically decreases the minimum time required between announcing union elections and when they will be held in as little as 11 days. It takes away workers' rights to vote by secret ballot in many circumstances. Well, there we go. Here comes intimidation. In the event of a disagreement, unions are recognized even if the majority of workers did not vote for the union, and it creates burdensome standards on defining joint employment and independent contractor status, which would be detrimental to small business owners in the franchise industry, said Congressman Grothman. Well, Mike Lindell is back in the news. The social media crackdown on conservative speech and in recent months has resulted in cancellation of accounts by President Trump and MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. But now Lindell says a new social media platform is coming where people will be able to talk and not walk on eggshells. Business Insider reported Lindell announced in an interview that the site could launch within a month. We're launching this big platform to all the voices of our country that can come back and start telling it like it is again, he explained. You'll not need YouTube. You won't need these places. So it will be where everything can be told because we've got to get our voices back, Lindell said. LifeNews.com, literally thousands of New Yorkers died in the state's nursing homes during the early months of the COVID pandemic. But a new media research center study found that the national media are much less interested in covering the horrifying scandal than the sexual harassment accusations against Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo. From the first network evening news mention of Cuomo's nursing home scandal nearly 10 months ago, that was May 11, 2020 on the NBC Nightly News, through this past Sunday night, ABC, CBS, NBC evening newscasts have devoted a mere 15 minutes and 35 seconds to this story, most of which came after the January 28th report by the state attorney general charging that Cuomo vastly underreported nursing home deaths. But in contrast to just the past 11 days, the same broadcasters have devoted almost three times as much coverage, 44 minutes and 14 seconds on allegations from several women that Cuomo sexually harassed them in recent years. In 2020, MRC found that 400 references to Cuomo on the evening newscast with only two mentions of the nursing home scandal amounting to a scant 51 seconds. From January 28th through February 25th, as revelations showed how the Cuomo administration had covered up the true death toll, the same newscast only produced another 10 minutes and 56 seconds on the topic. Life News also reporting that members of the Republican Assembly in New York have introduced a resolution to impeach the governor who issued an order that killed 15,000 nursing home residents during the COVID pandemic, who has been accused by multiple women of sexual harassment. Assembly Republican leader Will Barkley announced the impeachment measure at a news conference Monday, saying, "We're going to introduce this resolution because we believe the time has come. In order to lead this great state as governor, you need to have credibility and trust. And unfortunately, we feel the governor has lost that and now has an inability to lead." We understand also now that AOC and top New York congressional Democrats are calling for Cuomo's resignation amid these allegations as well. But why the silence? Why the silence on all the nursing home deaths that have taken place? Where's the outrage? We'll be back with a few more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trowel. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Well, Governor Cuomo is not alone in the issues pertaining to nursing home deaths, and LifeSiteNews.com tells us that charges are possible against Michigan's governor for nursing home deaths, the prosecutor says. He said, "This is not political, everyone. This is about people who passed away at the behest of a policy that was created by the governor. If we find that there's been willful neglect of office, if we find there's been reckless endangerment of a person's life by bringing them into what we would move forward with charges against the governor," said the new Macomb County prosecutor, Peter Lucido. He told WXYZ on Monday. He's a former state senator who's been investigating the situation since last year. He said in August that more than 2,000 residents and 21 staff died in nursing homes that amounted to 32% of all COVID-19 deaths at that time. Charisma News reporting the leadership of Ravi Zacharias International Ministry announced plans to lay off more than half of its staff and to reboot the organization to support victims of abuse. RZIM cannot indeed, should not continue to operate as an organization in its present form, said the CEO, Sarah Davis. As she told that to the staff on Wednesday, the ministry also announced plans to transition from having a global team of evangelists and apologists to becoming a grant-making organization that will support both evangelism and the prevention of and caring of victims of sexual abuse. Report also from WND.com, apparently aware that Officer Derek Chauvin could be acquitted in the death of George Floyd. Minneapolis City leaders are urging local business owners to have an emergency preparedness plan in place, particularly for the later stages of the trial, which began Monday with jury selection. The state has allocated some $36 million for security for the trial, including multi-layered fencing around the courthouse in Minneapolis. Protests that erupted in response to video that had been seen across the nation. Defense contends that the officer body cam footage released by the prosecution long after the viral video of Floyd's final moments shows that the officer adhered to his training by the Minneapolis Police Department. And that goes on, but $36 million high security as the city is bracing for this trial. WND.com reporting the U.S. Supreme Court Monday ruled in favor of a former Georgia college student who was prevented from expressing religious views in a free speech zone on campus. It was an 8-1 decision. Justice Thomas wrote for the majority that the student experienced a completed violation of his constitutional rights when respondents enforced their speech policies against him. Nominal damages can redress his injury even if he cannot choose or not to quantify that harm in economic terms, Thomas wrote. The student was joined in the lawsuit against Georgia Gwinnett College by another former student who claimed that he withheld sharing his faith on the campus because of the college's treatment of the first student. Well, the sole dissenting vote, Chief Justice John Roberts, who insisted the case was moot because they, the students, are no longer students at the college. Well, their appeal to the Supreme Court explained that the two lower courts dismissed the case because the college changed its policy after the case was filed, but the courts argued the policy change made the free speech issue moot. But the appeal pointed out that the six circuits hold that a government's policy change does not moot nominal damage claims. So it's amazing. Chief Roberts, again, being the sole dissenter in that, saying, hey, they're not students any longer. Let's just do away with this case, even though it takes some time for those cases to get up to their court. Daily Citizen reporting that in 1972, in response to a growing push from the feminist movement led by such women as Gloria Steinem, Congress approved an amendment to the U.S. Constitution known as the Equal Rights Amendment. It was then sent to the states for ratification. Folks, you know Phyllis Schlafly. She was she was the one who turned this thing on its heels and fought against the ERA and was successful in doing so. It was the ERA was touted as a guarantee of equal treatment under the law for women. However, the proposed amendment was not ratified by the requisite 38 states during the 7-year period established by Congress. Well, there have been attempts now since by 3 states to ratify the ERA almost 40 years after the original deadline. And the federal court ruled recently that they were not able to. However, unless overturned on appeal, the effort by Virginia, Nevada, and Illinois to use the courts to push the ERA across the finish line have fallen short. Many liberal members of Congress are trying to retroactively extend the original deadline indefinitely. Federal District Judge Rudolph Contreras dismissed the lawsuit from the 3 states. We'll see where that's going. But folks, did you know that there is a resolution that's been introduced into the House of Representatives January 21st? It's H.J. Res 17, House Joint Resolution 17, that would do away with the curfew on the Equal Rights Amendment and allow states to continue to ratify this, even though decades ago it was turned away. LifeSiteNews.com, President Joe Biden issued 2 new executive orders this week in commemoration of International Women's Day, though both are ironically likely to have the effect of elevating men claiming to be women at the expense of actual women. One order creates a White House Gender Policy Council that is tasked with establishing and pursuing a comprehensive approach to ensure that the federal government is working to advance equal rights and opportunities, regardless of gender or gender identity, in advancing domestic and foreign policy, including by promoting workplace diversity, fairness, and inclusion across the federal workforce and military. And the other executive order directs the U.S. Department of Education to undertake a comprehensive review of all existing regulations, orders, guidance, documents, policies, and other similar agency actions for compliance with the goal of an educational environment free from discrimination on the basis of sex, including discrimination in the form of sexual harassment, which encompasses sexual violence, and including discrimination on the basis of, yep, sexual orientation or gender identity. New York Post is reporting legislation sponsored by New York State Senator Samra Brouck, a freshman Democrat from Rochester, would tie New York's health curriculum to standards written by a left-wing interest group that advocates sex ed for social change. It would make those lessons mandatory statewide. Under this group's current standards, public and charter schools would have to teach 5-year-olds about gender identity and instruct 8-year-olds on hormone blockers to prevent puberty in transgender-identifying preteens. Folks, some of the other content for students as young as 11, it is so graphic, I'm not going to share it with you here on the program. It's going to defile your minds. But they are seeking to teach children as young as 11 some of these very, very graphic things pertaining to so-called sex ed. Folks, it should speak volumes to alone when they're having to deal with gender identity courses for children starting at age 5 and instructing 8-year-olds on the issue of hormone blockers to prevent puberty. It is shocking, absolutely shocking. You may not know what Twitch is, but your kids sure do. The site is one of the country's biggest video game streaming platforms. The story's on the Daily Signal. As many as 2.3 million people could be watching Twitch streams at any given second, and a large chunk of these viewers are children. Well, the left has recognized the potential for Twitch to target kids and has actively begun infiltrating the platform, investing it with woke propaganda and PC culture. And the most recent incident of woke virtue signaling, Twitch has released a tweet which is since been deleted, encouraging people to celebrate Women's History Month. But instead of women's being spelled W-O-M-A-N, they X out the A and put in the letter X. Women's History Month, and take out that letter A. The term woman is the constantly evolving language of woke leftism. That's woman with an X rather than an A, considered a more inclusive term than woman, as it includes men who identify as women and women who don't identify as either sex. Perhaps the most disturbing indication of how deep the roots of identity politics go on Twitch is the Safety Advisory Council group that exists almost completely to ban people from the platform for wrong think. One member of the council, a man who goes by the online handle Ferociously Steph, identifies not only as a woman, but as a deer. He also on record encouraging the looting and rioting from last summer, and he gets to decide what your kids are seeing. A warning about Twitch on the Daily Signal. New York Post is also reporting a Manhattan private school aiming to use more inclusive language is encouraging its students to stop using terms mom, dad, and parents because the words make assumptions about kids' home lives. The Grace Church School in NoHo, which offers academic courses for junior kindergarten through 12th grade, issued a 12-page guide to students and staff explaining the school's mission of inclusivity. The detailed guide recommends that using the terms grown-ups, folks, family, or guardians as alternatives to mom, dad, and parents. Also suggested using caregiver instead of nanny or babysitter. Families are formed and structured in many ways. At Grace Church School, we use inclusive language that reflects the diversity. It's important to refrain from making assumptions about who kids live with, who cares for them, whether they sleep in the same place every night, whether they see their parents, etc., the guide reads. The document also states how to use appropriate terms relating to gender, sexual orientation, race, and ethnicity. Also, we have from Western Journal, the California Department of Education might soon transform the state's 10,000 public schools into left-wing incubators that brainwash children with anti-Christian, anti-white propaganda. The alarming agenda spotlighted Wednesday in a city council column by the website's contributing editor, Christopher Ruffo, who also is the director of the Discovery Institute. That's a nonprofit think tank. Next week, the California Department of Education will vote on a new statewide ethnic studies curriculum that advocates for the decolorization of American society and elevates Aztec religious symbolism all in the service of a left-wing political ideology. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. I have gone through many, many, many issues here today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event news, our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. By the way, as these executive orders continue to fly, Fox Business reports a coalition of 12 states is suing President Biden's administration over a climate executive order that they claim has the potential to have a serious economic impact across the country through the expansion of federal regulatory power. The suit is being led by Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, filed on Monday. State attorney generals from Arkansas, Arizona, Indiana, Kansas, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah also have joined the action. It alleges that Biden's executive order protecting public health and the environment and restoring science to tackle the climate crisis does not have the authority to issue binding numbers for the social cost of greenhouse gases to be used by federal regulators. Let's go to the phone lines here today. In South Dakota, we have Kevin. You're on the air, Kevin.
Yes, good afternoon. Say, just listening to your program, I just remember the words as a young boy going through my mind of my dad saying, someday this country would fall like an old brick building.
Yeah.
Would just tumble in on itself. And when I think about these things and everything that you've mentioned today, isn't one of them that we just can't even imagine over 50 years ago. I'm over 60, but I'm just saying that I couldn't imagine 50 years later to hear what you're saying and these things that are going on. It's just bewildering. We've financed, I guess my last comment is here with this bill, we've financed, we financed it. We borrowed the money even to pay for our own Bill of Unrights.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And the undoing that we're going to take place in this country. I'm sorry. I don't want to be one negative. God's faithful. He's sovereign and he reigns. But, man, as far as a child of God, it's getting tougher to hang on every day. And yet, this has been going on for years in other countries. And we're just getting a taste of it now.
Thank you for the comment here. And, yeah, I'll respond to you here right after the break. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was listening to a medical doctor being interviewed about the COVID vaccination. And this person interviewing this medical doctor said plainly, I'm not a Christian. But the medical doctor was very obvious. And the medical doctor began to talk about how when you have to get a card or a mark or some kind of certification to buy something, to go into a store, to get on an airplane, that it's setting up the mark of the beast. Well, the person that was interviewing her, again, I said, she said she's not a Christian. But here's what she said that stunned me. She said, why is it I'm having to tell the Christians not to be a part of this? Why am I having to tell the Christians, as a non-Christian, tell the Christians this is setting up the mark of the beast? Why are Christians doing this? You know what the Bible says, Christians? Come out and have nothing to do with this. It's sad when the unsaved world knows we're not doing our job.
You know, what Kevin was saying there, going right into the break, is right. And that's the very message Michael Youssef gave on Crosstalk on Monday of this week, talking about the implosion from within. We're crumbling from within. The morality, or lack thereof, I should say. And he's calling the church into action, calling the church into revival. By the way, his book, Hope for This Present Crisis, our VCY bookstore has that yet reduced 48% off through the end of this month. Those of you who tried calling at a busy signal, you can call the website vcy.com, vcy.com, or calling 1-888-722-4829. But indeed, we're imploding from within. No country is going to have to take us over militarily. We're crumbling all by ourselves. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, it's incredible to me that Andrew Cuomo had the full mainstream media support prior to the election in order to push COVID-19 as an anti-Trump propaganda, stunt. And my question is where were the Christine Blasey Fords, figuratively speaking, prior to the election? All of a sudden, after all said and done, they come up to the front, and now it's more of a sexual debate more than the elderly that got.
Yeah, the nursing home deaths. Yeah,
exactly. And now, to make matters worse, if this isn't what I would call supporting a candidate for being a useful idiot, you got Jared Nadler and AOC that all of a sudden come to the forefront, the one endorses his resignation. So that's my comment.
Yep, thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. Let's go to Kevin in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I was just listening to some of the things that you mentioned in your news overview, you know, just sharing different things, you know, politically and morally that are happening. And I think as far as causation, ultimately I would say the main causative agent would be a departure from the truth of God's word as far as, you know, defining specifically what it means when it says what it says. And to the degree that professing believers have departed from that, you know, not just denominationally, but just, you know, people who name the name of Christ at large, to the degree that there's departure from truth.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible teaches that God and his sovereignty, he definitely has all of his plans. And so being able to see the dynamics of what God speaks about in Romans, to the degree that people have not a love for the truth, he'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. And so the solution is repentance, but the Bible teaches that America is not going to repent as far as some massive revival, because, you know, the Bible teaches that only a few are going to enter into the narrow way, and we're in what is called the apostasy. And preachers are just going to continue to preach things that are error, and and they're going to wax worse and worse, and God's judgments, consequently, are going to continue to intensify.
Kevin, you've hit the nail on the head, and thank you for sharing it. And indeed, you said it, couldn't say it any better. Thank you for calling in today. Appreciate it. We're going next to Courtney in Miami, Florida. You're on the air.
God bless all you saints, and thank you for taking the call. I just, with the news today, parents, it just shows you, when they reopen these schools up before, right now, today, be with your children in the Word of God every day and ask God to lead you and to guide you and to show you how to live a holy life before your children, because that devil is out to take every soul to hell with him as he can. But we know God cannot be defeated. And our children, we're to bring them up in godliness. I just wanted to say that. I just woke up. But pray for the children, people. Pray for the grandfathers, the grandmothers, the mothers, the fathers, just to live that life before their sons and their daughters. And that's the one going to college, too. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney. I appreciate your call. And knowing, just as the prophet, or as Joshua, the leader of the children of Israel, following Moses, made that declaration, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go next to Mauston, Wisconsin. Mason, you're on the air.
So I wanted to tell you that stop, and don't shut me off until you hear, have to say, not thinking where I'm going. Stop praying. We are God's people. We are mighty warriors. We need to get up off of our backside and do something. We need to buy ABC, NBC, CBS. I don't know. But we need leaders to do something where we all can do something that makes a positive mark. Yes, praying is wonderful. Yes, praying works. But God also expects us to do something. And then I wanted to say a little story.
Very quickly. I'm almost out of time.
Okay. When I was a young boy, this crazy lady wouldn't let us watch Three's Company. If you know Three's Company was a boy. And
yeah, I tell you what, you're going to go along in this story, Mason. I'm not going to have time, and I apologize for cutting you off. We've got one more caller to get in. But I do want to correct. I totally disagree with your statement there to stop praying. It is not to stop praying. But it's not either or, but it's both. We do need to pray, and I think you'll agree with me there, Mason, that we do need to pray. But yes, indeed, faith without works is dead, and so that aspect also joins us as well. Thank you.
To stop praying was not to stop praying, but to do something besides praying.
Thank you. Thank you, Mason. Rex is next in Minnesota. Our final caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. The liberal left think that they're winning by attacking the conservative right, but they don't realize that the things that they do are going to indirectly affect them too in the long run. So they think they're having a great time transforming America into something that should not be. It's going to affect them, too, down the road.
It is, Rex. Thank you. And I'm out of time here on the program. But as Scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's the very point you were making there. Thanks for the call. Folks, our time is gone. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing church this coming Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.